Hello, my friends, and welcome to another edition of the Virtual Ingenuity Business Podcast. Our special guest today is Tyler Lamond, and he is the co-founder of Creative Lab Designs, and it is a design and social media agency, a very popular agency that he established himself. And he is an expert in the field and specializes in people, relationships, and data analytics. My friends, Tyler has such a passion for social media, data analytics, and people that he has made a name for himself in the industry. He loves to help businesses grow and succeed online, and he has got a wealth of information to share with you today that I hope that you will take to heart. And we are going to talk about the art of using social media for business today. Tyler, welcome to the Virtual Ingenuity Business Podcast.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I'm very happy to be here.
You're welcome. So you are truly an expert in your field. I've spoken with you several times and always it's such a pleasure. Let's talk about what the best platforms are for certain industries. We know, Tyler, that there are businesses across industries. Not all platform is good for your business or a particular industry. So let's talk about that a little bit and let's go into that.
So the first thing I would say is even if your business is geared towards something, let's say that it's really prominent, like maybe you're selling a service, like you're an online coach or something. So that would gear more toward like Facebook, like building a community and stuff. I would still strongly recommend making a page on every single platform just for the fact that you will now own that name. You don't ever have to post on it or anything like that. Maybe your audience doesn't congregate there. That's totally fine. But it's good to make sure that you own that name there. So for instance, Creative Lab Designs, we don't really do a lot of TikTok stuff, although we might probably should, and we probably will break into that. But we already have a TikTok page, so that way no one takes the at that we have already been using. So that way our branding stays vertical along the lines. So I highly recommend that. But then pushing forward to discuss about like which kind of industries that you're going to go into, all industries really break down into, are you selling a product? Or are you selling a service? And 9 times out of 10, our clients that we run into are service-based. They're financial advisors, they're consultants, they're online coaches. And when it comes to that stuff, I strongly recommend using some type of Facebook page or some type of Instagram page, because that is where the majority of, I'm not saying this is derogatory, but like that's where the common folk are. That's where my mom and dad are. That's where my grandma and grandpa are. And if you're wanting to reach a more common base audience, that's where that's going to be. TikTok. Now, I don't know if you know this, and I can't quite remember the statistics off the top of my head, but TikTok makes up for, I believe, 18% of all transactions of products because of advertisement and things like that. And then I believe it's somewhere around 30% of all products that are sold in the United States are done between the ages of like 16 and 25. Don't quote me exactly on that. The point that I'm getting at is that the young people congregate on TikTok, and that is where a lot of the products are. So what you really need to figure out is what exactly is it that you're selling or that you're doing? And then where is that audience? And then go there. Your audience will always dictate where you need to go.
That's such an important key. And we've talked several times, Tyler, on my podcast and to my clients, because Virtual Ingenuity, we provide business management services to entrepreneurs across time zones. And so, you know, I have clients that come to me that don't even have a business plan. So, you know, it's so important to have that business plan to get you in the right direction of finding out who your target audience is. And of course, you know, we can at Virtual Ingenuity help clients write and come up with a fantastic business plan. And another thing, don't ever let anyone write your business plan for you. That's really not ethical. No one can write your business plan for you, but we can certainly guide you along the way of doing that. So yes, researching Tyler is certainly important. So let me ask you this, where does Pinterest then fall in line with social media? Is Pinterest really, how relevant is Pinterest? And to what industries does Pinterest cater to?
Okay, so it's really interesting that you say that. So I actually have a client, they just got on a few weeks ago, and she's a travel agent, and she has a very strong desire against basically all social media except for Pinterest and YouTube. She's deemed them as evil, as whatever. And I've had multiple meetings with her. There's nothing I can get to try to get her on board, because she's a travel agent. She really needs an Instagram page. She needs to make a travel themed page, right? And I'm kind of a young man. I don't go to Pinterest. I look at Pinterest like, do you know the store Pier, was it Pier 21 or Pier 1 or whatever?
Yeah, Pier 1. Yes.
Right. I look at stores like that and I wonder how they stay in business, because I never go there. They don't have anything that offers anything to me. Like, I'm not their audience. So that's how I view Pinterest personally, because it doesn't really necessarily have anything for me. Maybe I'm underrating it, maybe whatever. But because of this client, I've been starting to do a lot more research into it. And what I'm noticing is that the people who go there are people who are looking for like do-it-yourself stuff. They're looking for recipes. They're looking for inspiration. Like, I know a lot of artists, when they get signed to do a commission, they'll go there and they'll look for inspiration of the topic or whatever it is that they're doing. They're looking for easy life hacks that they can do to like make a new desk or something like that. They support stories, like how like Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook have stories. They have those type of things. What I don't know about it so far is I don't know if there are scheduling capabilities to it. And if your platform doesn't have scheduling capabilities, you're in for a rough ride, because that means that every single post you're going to do is going to be authentic, meaning that you're going to go through the app on your phone or you're going to go to the computer and you're going to post. And you don't think of it as big because it's like, oh, it's 5 minutes out of my day. But then when things get bigger, life gets faster, crazy things happen. And then you sit there, now you're stressed. Did you post? Did you not post? And you don't want to have that.
I 100% agree with you on that. Yes, but there are platforms available that you can schedule on Pinterest. But I don't know, I don't know if Pinterest has their own platform per se that you can schedule on. But yeah. So great point again. So what about Twitter? Is Twitter falling apart? What's going on with Twitter? Give me an update on that and how we should use Twitter, or should we, for social media?
So, you know, this is another really good thing. Before I did creative lab designs, I was actually a school teacher and I was a multimedia teacher, and I was responsible for live stream graduation and stuff. And I tend to be very blunt because I'm very much like, we ain't got time for this. Like, we got to get to it. Like, what is the problem? Let's figure it out. I'm like, we need to do it. We don't have time to be like beating around the bush with stuff. So we were in a meeting one time. This was right when Elon Musk bought it. And my principal said, well, we need a live stream on Twitter. And I was just like, why? The only people on Twitter are corporations and people who think they're more important than they are. And the room went dead silent. And then she was like, but I'm on Twitter. So the long and the short of it is, if you are a corporation, like a big corporation, well, yeah, I guess you don't necessarily have to be big, but if you're no longer considered a local business, then you probably should be on Twitter. There's a lot of action that can go on there. It's not dead. It's definitely in a transitional period right now. There's a lot of things going on. People saying they're leaving the platform, but yet they stay on the platform, you know? Ultimately, I don't know if you know this either, but Twitter's primarily only used in America. Like, in the grand scheme of things, I think it's like the 12th or the 15th most used social media. Like, it doesn't even have like 5 million users a month, whereas Facebook has 2.2 billion active users every single month. So it gets beat out by quite a bit of people. And that's because it's mainly used by large organizations, celebrities, things like that, in order to reach the masses, to say things, to do things like that. So if you're a small business, I wouldn't really recommend being on Twitter. There's not a lot of benefits. You have very little text that you can say. You have very little community building. I mean, there is building there. And I think that we're about to see a bunch of shifts where there's going to be a bunch of like more video platforms and like short forms and things like that. But in all reality, it's at the moment, it's very web one. It's very information based. It's you put out a blurb like, hey, we are back ordered with whatever it is that we're back ordered. Boom, it gets blasted. And then now all your customers know that things are back ordered. And it's kind of a safety net in case they don't check their email, kind of thing like that. So that's really my two cents on that. Again, I have Twitter for my personal self and for Creative Lab Designs, but that's mainly so that way no one takes that stuff. And so that way I can stay on top of things, because I do a little bit of like day trading on the side. And that's where I get a lot of my information, is from Twitter.
Okay, good point. All right. So small businesses, stay away from, you don't have to be on Twitter, but it's important to hold your name space on that platform. You know, I always think, Tyler, that Twitter is more political, and it's more for folks in that, like you said, celebrity space, mm-hmm. and for campaigning type of thing. So
correct.
Okay, thank you for almost confirming that. So now that we've kind of, you can figure out your platform, and again, you know, we can help, Virtual Ingenuity can help you guys figure out a platform. Now, on to you, Tyler, with content. Let's talk about content. Content is huge. I always say you just don't put just content out there just for the sake of posting, right? Mm-hmm. To me, it's more of telling a story. So what's your definition of putting content on social media? What kind of content do we need to put out? I know it depends on the industry, but elaborate more on that for me, please.
So I like that you said just posting and hoping. Me and my friends call it posting and praying. We just kind of throw something out there and hope something sticks, kind of thing. And I like that you talked about the storytelling. So I actually have a lot to talk about content. So if you want to, you know, if I start rambling on, just like flag me down or something.
Take it away, Ty. You're good.
So what people are looking for in terms of good content breaks down into five fundamental elements. Okay. And these aren't hard and fast, and they're because people are normally looking for like the hard, fast rule, so that way they can abide by it. But the world doesn't really work like that. So these are really just kind of general five elements: quality audio, quality video, quality footage, which is like your B-roll, your clever shots, your transitions, your lighting. Quality of information. What is the video about? Is it relevant for your page, your niche? Is it valuable? And then number five is, does it tell a story? And this is a really hard one. Now, you can break these elements down into two different categories, the hardware side and like the creative side. The hardware side's like the easiest one. That's the one you can throw money at. You can watch a bunch of YouTube videos, and all you have to do is figure out is how the equipment works. That's your, how does your camera work? How's your audio work? And all the accessories that go with it. And it's kind of like when you say you're going to start going to the gym, and then you go to Academy and buy a bunch of workout clothes, but then you never go to the gym, but you feel good because you bought a bunch of workout clothes. So that's where the hardware side is and can be. The creative side is really what dictates a lot of if something's going to go viral or if something's just going to do well. That is the subject matter. That is the delivery of the subject matter. Do you have a plan for the content that you're about to record, for the subject matter that you're about to record? Do you have a plan of like how it's going to work? When I record vlogs, I always make sure that there is a shot of me walking into the hotel room. That is technically a not authentic clip, because like, how did the camera get there? But it's important, and it's relative for the story. Because otherwise, I'm going to hold up the camera and say, hey, I made it to the hotel room. Well, that can get boring sometimes. Why do I need to say that when I could just have a clip of me walking into the hotel room and then immediately clip over to the most important part, which is whatever the subject matter actually is? People don't care that I'm in the hotel room. It's more of a check mark in the story, right? So when it comes to the subject matter, it has to be these three things, and they need to be in this order: entertaining, engaging, and educational. Those are the three top elements, with entertaining being it. So everyone, like, we live in a attention driven society. Everybody is, the currency isn't money. The currency is attention. What can you do in order to get someone's attention, to stop them from scrolling and actually watch your video or look at your picture and go, what's going on here? And if it's not entertaining and it's not engaging, then it's not going to work well. And you can take this all the way back to when you were in school. So like, you're in school, you're sitting down, you're in a desk, they're in rows, you have a textbook out, and the teacher is lecturing. How much information did you actually learn? Probably not a lot.
If I ask my kids that, that's going to be the answer. They're going to say, what? What class was I in?
Exactly. Because it wasn't engaging. It wasn't entertaining. Right. There's a reason why kids know all 1,000 Pokemon, but they don't understand how to do math. It's because Pokemon is fun, engaging, and hands-on. Math can be, but isn't. Right. So when you're trying to come up with something entertaining, a lot of times just putting your own personality into it can be enough to make it entertaining. So this requires you to be a very interesting person. If you're not an interesting person, you need to go out and do interesting things, so that way you become an interesting person.
Like, love it.
That's just what it is. If you're behind a computer and you're not around people and you're not around having experiences and stuff, you're not going to have anything to pull from in order to make an interesting video. You're just going to sit there, be a floating head, and be like, this is what a gigabyte is, 8 gigabytes for your computer. Like, no one wants to listen to that, you know?
Right.
But if you're like, if you had some clickbaity title that was like, I tried every different form of RAM in my computer and this is my results, the end will shock you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, now I want to click on it. Is it going to shock me, or is it just clickbait and am I going to be mad? Right.
That's right.
So.
And you're tuning it to the end to find out.
Exactly. Yeah. So this all plays into telling a story. Everything is telling a story. So when I used to teach my multimedia class, in order to introduce the storytelling things, and these are really good exercises for you to do too, is especially if you're very new to like making videos and making content, the first thing you should do is interview a friend. Just sit down with the camera, come up with like 20 questions and interview a friend. It doesn't have to be posted. It doesn't need to go anywhere, but it will be fun because it will be with your friend and it will be just fun, nonsensical questions. Then your next step is to interview someone a little bit more real, maybe like your boss or a colleague, someone who you're familiar with, but there's a little bit more weight to it. This one you might actually want to post. It doesn't matter if you have a social media following or anything, because your first 100 videos and things, no one's going to watch anyway. So just go ahead, get it out there, and learn how the platform works. After you've done this, because what that does is that's going to show you how the beginnings of the story is going to set up. Because when you interview somebody, there's a beginning, there's a middle, and there's an end. There's a, hey, how are you? This is the questions. Thank you for your time. So there's a beginning, middle, and end. We already have the basis of a story. And now we're just adding more weight to it. So then after that, you make a video of a how-to. You make a how-to video. Pick something. Doesn't matter what it is. It could be a PB&J. It could be how to build a computer. It could be like how to talk to your kids. It could be literally anything. And what this is doing is adding in the element of education. And I actually recommend doing quite a few how-to videos, because your first one might be educational and it might follow the story, but it's going to be incredibly boring. I had a student one time, his project was to make me a how-to video on how to do a PB&J. And it was the most captivating 5 minutes of my entire life. He had like epic classical music that was going on. He had sound effects that were going, sticking the knife into the peanut butter and slithering it on. It was amazing. And then at the very end, I was on the edge of my seat. I was like, is he actually going to eat this sandwich? And then he did. And I was like, okay, like this is it. Right. So like, even something that's as simple as making a sandwich can be captivating, can be entertaining, can be engaging. And he had this whole like bit about why you put the jelly on the bottom, which is ridiculous because it's a sandwich. There's no top and there is no bottom, right? But he like made this huge point about why the jelly goes on the bottom. And yeah. It was very, very funny. So after
it was
you
captivating.
Yes.
It worked.
It worked. It definitely did. So after you start doing those how-to videos, then you can start breaking out into your actual niche, into your actual what you want to do. A lot of times people sit there and they think like they get frozen. They want their very first video. They want their very first podcast. They want their very first piece of content to be 100% perfect. And that comes from our like education doesn't reward mistakes. They reward perfection. And then once you put all your time and energy into one thing and it's perfect, and then it doesn't do well because it was your first one, then it's like, well, now what? I don't want to do that again. Right. So now it's like, now it's a chore. Now it's all these things. So in order to do all of these things, to build up all, into all of this stuff, you have to think about what is the story that you're trying to tell? Do you have some type of hook? And if you know, if you have kids, you know that there's things called anime and cartoons and stuff. And people get really upset when there's filler, when there's things that don't pertain to the story.
Yes. Yes.
It's very, very, it's very annoying. So don't put that in your video. Make sure that every sentence leads to the next sentence. Every frame leads to the next frame. Every transition keeps you there. And if you really want to know who does this the best, Mr. Beast on YouTube.
Oh, Mr. Beast. Yes. My kids are very familiar with Mr. Beast. Yes.
Watch one of his videos, yes. Any one of his videos. Every single one of his videos, within 5 to 7 seconds, you know exactly what the video is, what's at stake, and how it's going to work. And then everything beyond that, he just slowly adds interest. The very first challenge is like, well, that's kind of neat. The second one, he adds another small element. This next one, he adds another small element. And it just builds and it builds and it builds and it builds and it builds. And next thing you know, like Gordon Ramsay's on there testing his chocolate. And you're like, well, I didn't see that coming, right? So it's the start, is the art of storytelling and making sure that no sentence is not being used. It always leads to the next sentence. Every frame, every clip leads to the next thing. Where is the end goal? What are you trying to say? And then how are you going to say it? And that's why it's so important to write it down on paper, write out a script, and not just like what you're going to say, but what's going to happen.
That's so important, Tyler, because TikTok, I think people that are super good at doing that are a lot of people on TikTok that are very successful on TikTok, because TikTok, you have like, I don't know how many seconds it is to get your message across. And when you're really good at it, you tell a story, but you build it up so fast that, I mean, you stick with TikTok, you stick with that story and, you know, just to find out what's going to happen at the end, what are they going to say? You know, at the end, but they're building it, but in a much faster pace. When you're doing
exactly. And I don't know if you've noticed or not, but like with those short form, like whether it be Facebook, Instagram Reels or TikToks or even YouTube Shorts, you can't control how fast it goes. It only goes.
True.
You can't just skip to the end.
That's
so
right.
You have to watch all of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's a reason for that.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yes, there is.
Captivate your audience.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, if there's one thing that you're having a hard time with trying to come up with something, like maybe you feel like you're entertaining, you might be slow. I have a YouTube channel, and if you scroll to the very bottom of the YouTube, well, actually you can go to any of my videos on my personal YouTube because they're all bad. And you can go there and you can watch my bad videos and you can see why they're bad, because I'm slow. Like I have a drum tutorial video where I'm talking about like how to drum and stuff, like how to play a song. A minute in and you still have no idea what I'm doing. And it's like, well, this is why I did bad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're having trouble with that, pick a controversial topic that's safe.
Ah, okay.
Safe controversial topics are like this. Mm-hmm. Tea is better than coffee. You just made half your audience mad.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Like there was one time I did a stream and I titled it. It was during Teacher Appreciation Week. And I titled it, "Do Teachers Deserve Free Chick-fil-A?" It was my most viewed stream of all time.
I can see that. Chick-fil-A is huge here, especially in the South.
Exactly. So find things that are controversial, but are safe. like these type of things. And then if you can work that into your content, then it's going to help elevate it and help make it bigger.
So Tyler, what about people that want their kid to do it? Because, you know, this younger generation's coming through and a lot of companies are using younger folks fresh out of high school, out of college to do the content. But, you know, if you have a small business, why not just have your kid do it? What's wrong with that?
I hear that all the time. And if you are just starting out and you have no capital at all, which I don't know, like, I mean, I know this isn't the thing, but remember the first two rules of business is speed and money in, like, you don't worry about anything else. Right. So like, if that's the order that you got to go, then, you know, go ahead, go for that. But let me tell you that having your child, your niece, your nephew, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old is not going to work very well because, and I learned this when I was a teacher, kids are not tech savvy. Everybody thinks kids are tech savvy. They are not tech savvy because they're not being taught it. They are app savvy and they are consumers, not creators.
This is a difference.
This is very, very big. So I had custom built computers in my classroom and every school year, even some, a lot of times, like I had to do it every 9 weeks, right? Because we were on a 9 week rotation. They didn't know how to turn on the computer. Because like not a lot of people have desktop computers, like people have tablets. And when was the last time you turned off your tablet or your phone? Probably never. So like the concept of turning things off isn't really there. So like they don't even know how to turn on a computer, let alone check email or anything like that. So the challenge is that schools aren't really providing this problem-solving, heavy analytical mindset that is necessary, right? So like when in my class, we would take a Mr. Beast video and it'd be like 10, 12 minutes long and we'd use an hour and a half and we would break it all down to find the hook, find the entertaining parts, find the educational parts, find the ads. We would find all of this stuff and it would take an hour and a half and they're like, oh my God, I didn't even realize that. I was just watching Mr. Beast because it was interesting. That's what people do. They just mindlessly consume and your kids are worse at it than you are. I mean, just think, why do most old people reject social media? There's a reason for it because they realize that they need to be productive during the day and that mindlessly consuming content is counterproductive. So therefore, they are pushing it away. They don't know how to be, they don't know how to be creators. But they know they don't want to be a consumer. So they just kind of push it away. So that's why you don't necessarily want that. Now, granted, there's always outliers, right? There's always an exception to the rule. Like my second to last year teaching was when the NFTs and crypto really took off, right? And I had two students in there and they were making my paycheck a week with all of that stuff because they sat down and they realized how to work technology. So there's always going to be exceptions to the rule. But if you want to see actual real results, then you need to figure it out either for yourself or find like a social media manager, find a marketing company, find somebody. And just, I want you to think about this. Social media is hard work. If it wasn't hard work, then you would do it, right? And then the ROI possibilities, Warren Buffett himself, which is one of the greatest investors in America.
And ROI, guys, return on investment.
Exactly. His average return is 18% on an investment, which in reality, when it comes to stocks and bonds and like whatever, is pretty good. Your ROI for social media can be infinite. And I've seen a well-placed ad turn around and have an 80% conversion rate. That's an 80% return. That is greater than any investment you could ever make, ever.
That's right. That's amazing to have that 80% return.
Right.
Okay. All right. So great information, Tyler, again, we can tell that you're so awesome at videos. Well, my listening audience should be able to tell because you pack that information in there so fast. And there's a lot of information. So we definitely know that. I know for sure you have the the experience on creating
Thank you.
Videos and getting that content out there. And you do it very effectively.
I appreciate that.
So you're welcome. So it's so important. You talked about good content and really just tell a story, build it up, tell it, you know, quickly, because you have a really short time span to do that. Mm-hmm. So you talk about learn to be the creator, which is, you know, just being more deliberate and intentional, which we all need to do through all facets of our life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the things that if I'm a business owner that does not like to do social media, what are some of the things that I need to look for when hiring someone to do my social media for my business?
You need someone who understands what is like to understand it's not that the algorithm hates you, it's that your content's bad, right? And not just that you're, because like everyone's content is bad. Like my content's bad. And that's okay, because like you're learning, you're growing. That's like people want to be along for the journey. So that's like, don't think like, oh, my content's bad, like it's bad. Like, no, it'll be okay. You just need to make sure that you push out things and just understand that every single piece of content you push out, it's not going to be viral. But that doesn't mean that I can't do well, right? And that goes back to like telling the story. But if you're really looking for a strong social media manager, you need someone who understands how the algorithms work. And you need to understand how niching down works. And this is a really important thing. And I don't know if you are going to lead up to this later, but I can go ahead and talk about it right now.
Yeah. Are you going to talk about the algorithm?
I'd
love for you to do that. Yes. Keep going. You're great.
Okay.
Great.
The algorithm is based off of niches and sub niches. And what a lot of people get is like, you have to remember, you are not the hero of the story. You are not Spider-Man. You are not Captain America. You are not Superman. You are not Batman. You're not Luke Skywalker. You are Yoda. You are the guide, your client, the prospect, the person who is consuming your content. They are the hero. They are the ones who are on their hero journey. They're the ones who have pain points. They're the ones who are struggling. And it is your job to get them to the finish line. And they are going to come to you if you can offer that. So like I was a musician for a number of years and I was a drummer and I used to get gigs. And I mean, I was okay. I was pretty good, but I wasn't the best by any stretch of the mind. I would get gigs over people who were significantly better than me because I was willing to be in the background going boom, chick, boom, chick, boom, chick, and letting the singer and the guitarist be the hero. And be the star, because I wasn't the star of the show. It was my job to shine the star of the show and make the band look good, not make me look good. And then ultimately doing that made me look good.
So like literally sharing the stage, but lifting that the lead singer up and the rest of the band up. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's one of those things that like people think that they have to be seen, not necessarily. Because what would happen is that the singer or the guitarist, they'd be like, man, that was they didn't even notice me. They're like, man, that was really good. I was able to really rip this solo. I was really able to do blank or whatever. He's like, man, like, why was that so good? And then like another guy would come in and he'd be like trying to do all this crazy stuff, like drumming in the background or whatever. And he was trying to steal the limelight.
Steal
the limelight. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it goes off in their head. They're like, whoa, when Tyler was drumming with us, we didn't have that problem. I'd much rather have him because he's going to be quiet in the background, do exactly what I need him to do. And I'm going to be able to be the star. Okay, right. Cool. And then I get hired, right? Mm-hmm. So when it comes, it's the same principle. I live my life that everything is everything. Like I think in terms of circles, 6 + 4 = 10, but 10 - 4 = 6. Everything is a circle and it all links back to itself. Mm. So when you're building your content and you're building this page, you need a social media who understands how it works. So what I mean by niching down is that, and I hear this all the time from clients, well, I have way more content to offer. I have way more things to offer. I don't want people to get bored. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do blank. The average person on Instagram follows 200 plus people, and that's on the low end. And I would venture to say that it's probably even more closer to the thousands of the average consumer because they like something, they just follow it. So like you need to think of niching as a web, okay? And what I mean by that is, and I've done tons of examples with this. I don't know. Are you, I don't know if you're from my area, but in my area, there is someone called Jim Adler. He's a lawyer, and I use him because he's the best example of niching down. Who needs a lawyer? Literally everybody. Okay. How are you going to market that? Well, okay. How about I niche it down a little bit? I'm going to be a lawyer, but I'm going to be a lawyer for car wrecks. Okay. That's a little bit better, but who gets in car wrecks? Well, statistically speaking, every 15 minutes or so, there's a car wreck. Well, that's a lot. I need to niche it down again. How about I don't just do car wrecks, but I do 18 wheeler car wrecks. And then I go a step further and I represent the common man who gets in a 18 wheeler car wreck. So now he's a lawyer, but he only does blank. And do you think if other people come to him that he would turn them away? Maybe, maybe not. But chances are he's probably already fully booked with his sub niche, right? So I took this and I ran with it. I ran an experiment. I made an Instagram theme page with Digimon cards. And Digimon is like kind of like Pokemon, but it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
So like people don't even really know what that is. So I was like, perfect, right? So I got a whole bunch of Digimon cards. I had a whole bunch from when I was a kid, and I made a page, and I only interacted with Digimon card pages on this page algorithm, right? And if there was anything else, like if it was a reel and it was a Digimon card, I watched it three times. If it was a picture, I liked it and I commented on it. And if it was if it was anything else, I didn't give it any time of day. I just immediately swiped through it. Swiped through it, right? And I only followed other Digimon pages or Digimon card pages. Mm-hmm. Right. So what this did is like it made Instagram furious. Instagram was like starving because, as you can imagine, within 2 weeks, I maxed it out. Like there's only so many of those people who are doing that, a very obscured sub niche. So, I mean, you tell me, what do you think Instagram was trying to get me to consume? Like, what do you think other content that it was trying to give me?
Well, it was trying to probably get you Pokemon and anything surrounding Digimon, that platform. That's
exactly right. Okay. So it was giving me Digimon toys, Digimon anime, cartoons, Pokemon. But I was saying no, I was saying no. So now it's getting desperate. It's going even further out. It's offering me video games. And now it's offering me like video games that are far removed from Digimon, like Halo and Fortnite. And then now it's giving me baseball cards because they're technically trading cards. Right. And I'm still saying no. And then it got to the point where there was a streamer that I followed because he had a Digimon card page, and his personal page had a video that he had shared of his brother's cat, and it recommend, that's how far removed it was, and I liked it, and then literally it took not even 1 minute. My whole feed just opened up, and now it's nothing but cats. Because Instagram was like, oh my God, yes, please, thank you, because it wants me to stay on its platform.
Yes, that's right.
And that is the key element of how you become a creator and not a consumer, is that you have to take back your own algorithm. So what I did with this is that I learned that my page, and I gained a crap ton of followers, by the way, all the stuff, because I was so niched down. Because what I learned is that it's a web. And although in my view, I'm the center of the web and it's Digimon cards and you have Pokemon and video games and anime and everything else that branches out from it, that web, that broader sense is your consumer's feed.
Okay.
So they, like the consumer doesn't want you to be variety because their feed is variety. So they don't need variety from you. They want security. They want to know that you're going to post the same type of content all the time.
Now, they do want you to niche down then.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. Your client, your market wants you to niche down because their feed, like, I mean, just think of like the average person is interested in food, travel, working out, in like probably like some type of recreational activity, right? So why would I want to follow a page that has all of those things? I don't want to do that. I want to follow multiple pages that are each subgroup. And I don't want to just follow just sports pages. I want to follow basketball or mm-hmm. badminton or whatever it is that you're looking for. And when I realized this, it totally changed everything that I was doing, because Creative Lab Designs was posting things about web design and consulting and like, we sell this and we can do this. And we weren't growing that much. And I was like, okay, well, let's niche it down. What are we good at? We're really good at social media. So let's just post things about social media. And then after you get to about, I don't know, 10,000, 50,000 followers, whatever, then you have a big enough follower base that you could branch out. Like if my Digimon page, which I don't really run anymore, but if it did grow to 10,000 followers, 50,000 followers or something like that, if I posted something different that was like maybe a Digimon toy or something like that, or maybe I went to like a Comic-Con or something, it would probably do really, really well, because now I've built an audience that likes me for me and not just my content, right?
Right.
So okay. Now I'm building a community. Mm-hmm. So don't fall into the trap of, won't people get bored of my content? No, you're not that cool. They're not going to get bored. They're not going to get bored with your content. Yeah.
Because you're building that community for that specific content. That
exactly. Niche. Exactly. Yeah. Because you need to build trust. You need to show that you're good at some, at one thing. That's why school is broken down into core subjects and why, like, in all reality, like, school's kind of flipped around. Like, it should be core subjects when you're little, and then it should break out to like more general stuff and group together when you get older. So that way it's niched down. Like in math class, you only learn about math, and they try to cross-curriculate and whatever, but it doesn't really work because you're trying to niche down and just learn that one thing. And so like, that's why when I hear it's like, well, the algorithm hates me. And I'm just like, well, but do you know how the algorithm works? Like, how are you posting things? How are you doing things? Like, are you using the correct tags? Are you posting about social media and then using a worn out tag like entrepreneur? Well, entrepreneur has been used 28 billion times. Like, you can do that just so that way it's categorized. But like, I'm going to go on a limb here and say that you might need to think about something that's more niched down for what it is for you.
That's
The next thing I hear is that, well, won't I alienate my audience? Absolutely, you will. And that is what you want.
That's what you want. That's right. That's what you want. That's why you're niching down. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So think of it in terms of a web, and you are just one link in the web.
Okay. Tyler, I may have you back. I would love to have you back actually to talk about hashtags, because you just touched on that. And I have a whole set of questions that I want to ask you about hashtags that I think my listening audience would be interesting. So we definitely need a part two, guys, to talk to Tyler about social media. Listen, this was such an amazing episode, and you put out there, Tyler, a lot of pertinent information for our listening audience. You're welcome. So one question I do want to ask you there too, but the first one is, if our listeners could have one takeaway, and I know this is going to be tough, one takeaway from what we talked about today for you, what would that one takeaway be? What would you tell our listening audience today?
The one takeaway I would say is stop being a consumer, start being a creator, and take control of your algorithm. Don't let them control what you see. You control what you see, because there's a whole nother aspect of what is your business page actually following, and is what you're following benefiting your business page? We didn't even touch on that.
Love it. I love that. All right. So important. And I know that some of my listening audiences did not know that you could actually be a creator, you know, guide that algorithm. So that's key right there.
It is.
Yes. What is the one piece of advice, Tyler, when starting your business that you wish someone had told you?
So I wish somebody would have told me the two core elements of business, which is speed and money in. A lot of people are worried about the legality of it. And I'm going to sit here and tell you right now, you don't need to worry about getting your LLC. You don't need to worry about getting your DBA the very first thing. If you go out there and you make get money, because everything's easier with money. So if you go out there and you make get a sale, maybe you get an extra $2,000, $3,000 extra, the government's not coming for you the next day. You have plenty of time to build capital first within that first month, and then go out and then get legal. Otherwise, you're going to get legal first and you're going to be in the hole a lot of money because you haven't even sold your product yet. So start with selling first and then get legal second. But don't don't put it off.
Yeah, Tyler, that also goes for what if you're service based?
Yeah, exactly the same. Exactly the same. Yep. Because like Creative Lab Designs would be way ahead if we would have worried about getting clients first.
Cash flow. Yeah.
Cash flow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see a lot of business owners starting out that just get in so deep and the cash flow just isn't there. They have these great ideas, but they spent a lot of personal money, Tyler, setting up their business. Yeah.
Right.
Just like you said.
There's no reason that you should ever spend more than $5,000 when starting a business, especially if it's service-based.
Agreed. I 100% agree on that. Yeah. Okay. Tyler, you've been amazing on the Virtual Ingenuity Business Podcast. We thank you so much. Where can our listening audience find you? Because I know there are a ton of people out there that want to get in touch with you.
So you can find us on Instagram. We have a Facebook page. We even have a Facebook group. The Instagram page is Creative Lab Designs. The @ is Creative Lab Diz, D-E-S. Same with the Facebook page. And then the Facebook group is called Create Your Image. We just put a bunch of content out there to help you be mindful of your image and how to create it, how to control your social media and stuff like that. Those are the main platforms that we use. We're about to start up a YouTube channel, which is Creative Lab Designs. And of course, my email is tyler@creativelabdesigns.com.
Perfect. And guys, we will have all of Tyler's contact information in the show notes from this episode, so you will be able to contact Tyler easily. All right, friends. Tyler, thank you again for being on the Virtual Ingenuity Business Podcast today.
No problem. Thank you for having me. It was fun.
Absolutely. It was, you've given me a lot of information as well, because I know I'm very shy about creating videos. So I'm just going to get out there and do it. I'm going to be calling you and saying, hey, Tyler, check out my first terrible video. And
that's exactly right. Yeah.
It's going to improve from there. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Well, guys, you know, at Virtual Ingenuity, we focus on impacting together. We provide business management services, project management services, and content writing for social media as well. Tyler, you are amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you, my friends, for joining us on the Virtual Ingenuity Business Podcast. Please check us out on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. Be sure to like, rate, comment, and just give us your feedback. Until next time, my friends, let's impact together.